Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
I'm a firm believer of that. So whenever somebody gets afraid of, I can't do it, I can't preach, I can't go to somebody, I can't go win souls, just remember who's behind you. Amen, brother?
Amen.
And today I want to go and speak about today that this title that's been kind of resonating this whole week. And I had a brother of mine, he tends to send me Facebook messages throughout the whole week, throughout the whole month, and something really struck a chord in me a couple weeks back. I was going through a difficult situation where I was asking the Lord God, why is it that we become so dependent on ourselves sometimes that we forget about you? We get too comfortable. I think one of the prayers that I have every single day, God, please, I do not want to become comfortable. The moment we become comfortable, we become stagnant, and that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be comfortable and not seek the Lord, because when you're comfortable, you don't need God anymore. You got everything handled already. So that's my fear. And I'm like, God, I cannot come to that place. So in throughout that month, the brother sends me this message. And he tells me, remember this, Josh. God without me remains God. I without him, I am nothing. And that's the key today of our message today. And it brought me to key verse today, and it's John 15, 5. And we're reading off the New King James Version right now. And something that, again, it's just struck a chord with me every single time, that I have to be reminded by the Holy Spirit to tell me that I'm nothing without him. Doesn't mean we're worthless, no. It doesn't mean that we cannot do anything. What happens is this, that everything we do always has to have a stamp on it. God has to have the last word, the final approval. So without him, I am nothing. Do you remember that time you were nothing without him? Remember that time you were walking without him? You needed a savior. Someone came to the rescue. And something that happens sometimes, that people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have a savior, but what happens, there's a part of that verse that they don't make him their Lord. And that can be an issue and a problem sometimes, because we go walking around having a Savior, but we don't recognize him as our Lord. And today, I want to make sense of it today. I want to make something hit a chord in your heart today to say that he is my Lord, that I am nothing without him. Amen? So I want to open up with this, that we live in a culture, church, that prizes self-sufficiency. Brother, you got it. Don't worry about it. I'm like, yes, I probably have it, but I don't have it all together, because if I don't have Christ in my life, I don't have it all together. Amen. That's right. Right. Let's make it happen. Yeah. That's what it says. You be the architect of your own destiny. But here's the truth. Many of us discovering hard season is this, Pastor, that we can't fix everything. We can't. Right. We can't control the outcome. We can't be enough. And when we realize this, we face a choice. Do we despair? Or do we finally understand dependence comes from him only? That's a question for you guys to think about today. So the message I want to plant in your heart today is rooted in something Jesus said that cuts against every instinct we have, brothers and sisters, is this. Is that it's found in John 15, 5. And it's one of the most liberating, sobering sentences in Scripture. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, for with me, you can't do nothing. You cannot do nothing. I want to base our scripture today, our key verse, on this today. That doesn't sound like good news at first, but it is good news, because we depend on the true King. We depend that he's going to provide everything we need. So I want to anchor in this phrase that I gave you a little while ago. We're exploring today. God with me remains God. I without him, I am nothing. By the end of the message, I want to make sure that we can rearrange our heart. If it was out of line, we need to get back aligned to his purpose. Amen? Yes, yes. So my first point today is God does not depend on me. God does not depend on me. And I want to talk about that a little bit right now. It says, God's sufficiency is not diminished by my failure, absence, or weakness. No. He remains fully God, whether I show up or not. This is the foundation of everything. So a question to you is this. What if God doesn't need you the way you think he does? And sometimes we get puffed up and we think that we're all that in the classic ways, then all that in a bag of Doritos, if you guys know that phrase already. It's an old school word. You've used it before for the new generation. Well, it's a new one for you if you want to use it again. But it hits a chord because sometimes we become so dependent because in our daily life we do things on our own. God give you abilities. God give you the divine nature to handle things on your own. And praise God for that. He's a gentleman. He's never going to push something. He's never going to push something against you. I'm going to get this microphone because I'm getting out of hand over here. Sorry. So, and I get very passionate about this, brothers, because sometimes we depend so much on our abilities that we forget who God is. And you know what? That happens. And you might feel bad sometimes, like, God, I messed up. I started doing things without you. God understands. Yeah. He has grace on you. That's what I love our God, because he's a gentleman. He's never going to push something against you. He's never going to put something and say, you know what? You have to do it this way. It's my way or the highway. No. God is always a gentleman. He's always going to show you a way out. This is the way I want you to live your life. This is the way I want you to live dependent on me. Because remember when you were against me? Remember when you were doing things on your own way? How did things go for you? And that's a question that we have to remind ourselves every single day. It's humbling. I don't mean he doesn't love you. He does infinitely. But it's self-existence, his character, his kingdom agenda, none of this hinges on you being perfect, productive, or problem-free, or you doing everything on your own. No. And I want to go into scripture right now. We're going to jump into scripture right now. We're going to jump on Psalms 50:12. I know this church loves scripture a lot. Amen. Yeah. So it says this, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need your resources. I mean, it sounds like someone else who doesn't recognize God, who doesn't know his deity, who he is. Well, that's a very selfish guy. That's a guy like, you know what, get away. I don't know. We know the source. We know what we came from. This is why he is who he is. And he says these things. If you go to Isaiah 40, 25 to 26, it says this, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. God's power is not borrowed. It's not contingent. Say with me, God is God alone himself. He don't depend on nobody. We depend on him. Acts, let's move on to the next verse. Acts 17, 24 to 25. Paul tells the Athenians, God, who made the world and everything in it, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor he is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life breath and all things. And amen to that. He gives breath. He is the breath. He is the air that I breathe. I remember this pastor where I used to be at another church before, years ago. I like the way he put it all the time. It's very simple. That if we don't read your word, Josh, you're dying slowly. I'm like, why? Well, how do you breathe? Well, God breathed air in you. Okay, amen, yes. But also, the word is like oxygen. If you don't read your word, you're going to die. Amen. Amen. He gives all life, breath, and all things. So everything I do, everything I express, everything I worship comes from him. This is why I bow knees. This is why I come to him in time of need. Not because I want something, but because I know the fountain is him. Amen. And everything that's in him dwells and it flows. Amen. So I want to talk to you, brother and sister, right now. Maybe you've been carrying on a weight that was never yours to carry. If I'm not strong, this is man right here. I want to talk to man and to woman today. Men typically, mentally, we God made us to be the head, to be bold, to be strong. And we're always like that David, having to be strong. There's different characteristics and different characters in the Bible. Sometimes we just take that strong head. I'm going to be a David right now. I'm going to be strong. If I'm not strong, my family falls apart. If I don't perform, God's work fails. If I mess up, everything unravels. And this is something as men that we're taking, also women too, because they're performing at their house too, trying to do their due diligence as women of God, men of God. We're all working, trying to be perfected in the image of God. But you know what? Sometimes you're going to have to stop. Sometimes you're going to have to let God be in your life. God says, be still and know that what? I am God. We get carried away. It's per se normal to get carried away. But when you start to just believe a portion of what people say out there, that, you know what, brother, it's okay. You deserve it. It's okay. I'm like, no, get away from me, Satan. I don't want to get into that mindset. Because then I become self-sufficient. Then I become the guy on the chair, and I push Jesus to the side. And the chair that belongs to Jesus now becomes mine, and he's not taking lead anymore. I become very strict, brothers and sisters. I have to become. I sometimes have to tell my wife, you know what? I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve it. I have to give it back to God. Right. Everything he gave, it was because of him. And you myself, like I'm a masochist or something for saying that I don't deserve nothing. I'm poor me. And the thing is, in church, we have become so accustomed to say, no, brother, it's okay. It's okay to get things. And I'm not saying that if you want to buy something or you want to look good for a certain type of thing, that's fine. But don't let that consume you. That is not you. You should have the wardrobe of Jesus Christ to be crowned with the things of the Word. Not so much what someone told you and how good and how, I mean, I you have to smell good. you gotta wash up. I get that. We have to. I don't want you coming up and stinking this room. And if you did, we'll make a way for you. We'll wash you up because in God's love, we want you to be here too. We want you to be here too. But here's what God is saying, brothers. And I want you to have this, so finish this part of this point right now is this. But here's what God is saying. I'm not dependent on your competence. I'm not waiting for you to get your act together before I move. I was God before you were born, and I will be God long after you're gone. We need to recognize who is God. So let me give an illustration for you. I love analogies. I love illustrations. It puts things into perspective to close this point out. Think about a parent and a newborn. The baby doesn't contribute to the household income. It doesn't. This is more bills. The baby doesn't fix the roof or pay the mortgage. The baby's job is simply to receive. The parent doesn't say, well, unless you're productive, I won't love you. The parent's love is conditional. And the baby's dependence is complete. That's not a burden for the parent. It's how the relationship is designed. God is inviting us into that same posture, not as infants who never grow, but as beloved children who understand. My father doesn't need me to sustain him, but I absolutely need to be sustained by him. We need to be sustained by him. Just getting started, brothers. Let's go to point two, Pastor. I depend completely on him. I depend. Without Christ, I can't accomplish tasks and build a life, but I cannot produce the life he intended. There's a crucial difference between activity and fruitfulness. We're going to see that right now. So I want to get back to this tension. Here's what it gets real. Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, correct? For without me, you can do nothing. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, without me, you're useless. Someone outside there, what are you trying to say? That I'm nothing? No, it's not about that. No, I don't get it twisted. I want to get there. Without me, you're useless. No, he says, without me, you can do nothing. But wait, we do things without him. We work jobs, raise kids, build businesses, create art. So what does Jesus mean? So the distinction is this, brothers, is that he's separating doing from producing fruit. You can be productive without being fruitful. You can accomplish goals without bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You can work hard and miss the very thing God intended for that work. You can be busy. You can be like in the garden when Martha was running around like crazy. Martha busy. She looked like she was being productive and moving around, but nothing was happening. And Jesus said, be still. Be still. He had the master in the room. Sometimes we're so being productive within church too. Moving around, doing things for God. But are we growing in Christ? That's the key thing right there. Are we growing in Christ? We can get so caught up. Just like in the world, we get caught up with things, but also in church. And I want to make a segue here and make a stop here to make you think for a moment. Am I really worshiping God, or I'm worshiping what I think is right? What I think is best for God. Let's go back to that. God doesn't need us. We're servants. And he gives us the privilege to worship him. The privilege to bring people to Christ, brother. I have the ability to do things. I have talents. I can do great things. But nothing will ever matter if Christ is not in the middle of everything. If he's not consuming every step, consuming every crevice of my life. And I want to make sure that when I make it to heaven one day, God can say, you did it right. Well done, servant. Well done. It's not about me, brothers. It's about him. Yes. Let's go to scripture again. Let's go to John 15:4. It says this. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So remember this. The vine is the source. The branch only job is connection. It's connection here. Go to another verse, Pastor. Philippians 4:13 says this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's repeat that one more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not, I can do all this if I try hard. But through Christ who empowers. We get power from Christ. He empowers you. Next verse, Pastor. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. Not figure out the path, then ask God to bless it. But remain connected, and he directs the path. You see the difference? Figure out the path. Sometimes I laugh sometimes because back then, obviously, I pray for our relatives and friends. And brother, I'm just in my journey. I'm trying to figure out where I have to go. I'm trying to figure out what I need in this life. You know what? And sometimes that kind of creeps up in church too, because I've heard church members go, I'm just trying to find out who I am. You don't know who you are? I'm going to have to call you out on that, brother. You don't know who you are in Christ? And the thing is, I'm not trying to make them or minimize them. No, this is not about that. But this is to know who Christ is. It alarms me when someone doesn't know who Christ is in their life, that they have to go outside of these boundaries to go search outside in the world. The world has nothing to offer. Come back to the Word. And I say this to our brothers and sisters who left their ways, that Christ makes a way for everything. There's no need for to come back to the world again. Christ did it all for you and for me already. Remain connected, and he will direct your path. It's not say be connected sometimes, remain. And sometimes we get so disconnected and we lose our way. But thank God for His grace. So how do we apply this? Where are you trying to produce fruit from? That's my question to you right now. Where are you producing fruit from without remaining in the vine? Because you can't produce nothing if you're not in the vine, which is Jesus. Are you parenting from exhaustion, parent here, and your own strength, expecting that to shape your children's lives or soul? Are you serving in ministry from obligation instead of overflow? Wondering why it feels hollow and empty? Because we can serve and we still feel empty. What's happening? Are you connected to the vine? Is it out of your own strength? Are you building a career, a ministry, a marriage without the daily, hourly connection to Christ that actually sustains it? What's sustaining you right now? I'm out of fuel right now, Pastor. I have to go stop by the next gas station and fuel up again. I ain't going to make it. You already know that. Same thing with the Word. If I'm not connected to the Word, if I'm not digesting Word day in and day out, I'm going to hit up the road and I'm going to be left out to the side, to the curve, if you put it that way. I don't want to be left over to the curve. God does and never intended it to be that way. He wants you to be close to Him, to walk with Him. Be reading His Word, praying without ceasing. Never get tired of doing good in the book of Thessalonians. Continue giving, providing. The Lord is going to make a way where there's no way. There are promises of the Lord. We have to be reminded. I remember this, if you remember Pastor Pastor Little.
Yes,
Ray Little. He, you know, there's certain people in your life that impact you. They say certain things. It's something that I loved for those who are new in Christ and those who have forgotten who are in Christ. He will put it this way. He gave an analogy of an email. And he would say, you know, when you receive Jesus Christ, there's like an attachment. You get blessings attached to you. They come to you. There's many things the Lord gives you. But we're so caught up in this world that we forget about the blessings that Christ gave you. He sends them to you. He gives you more and more. But you forget along the way who He is. When you receive Jesus Christ, it's an attachment to many blessings to your life. So this again, I want to flip this for you. This is not called to passivity to your lives, brothers and sisters. It's called to repositioning yourself right now. Stop trying to be the source. Start positioning yourself as the branch. Your job is not to generate the life, no. Your job is to stay connected to the One who does. Amen. That's where it comes from. Amen. Let me give you this illustration. We'll move on to our third point. A branch doesn't conference with itself about how to make apples. It doesn't talk to itself, I'll make apples. No. It doesn't strategize or optimize. It simply receives sap from the vine. That life flows through it. That fruit appears. That's the model. The design that God created. When we flip it, when we become the source instead of the conduit, we exhaust ourselves producing a stunted, soulless version of what God intended it to be. We got to be connected. We got to be connected. Let's move on to my point three. My weakness reveals my need for God. My weakness. We all have weaknesses here, right? Yes. We have weak moments in our life. Yes, if you say you don't, then that's a sin right there. Don't be a liar. We all have weaknesses in our life. Everyone. And we need God every day to sustain us. So weakness is not a flaw to hide, brothers. It's an invitation to experience God's total sufficiency. So when I'm weak, I run to the Lord. When I'm weak, I know who is the one who's going to provide. Amen. Thank you. His power is perfected in what? In our weakness. Because weakness is where we finally stop pretending.
Hallelujah.
We stop pretending. Don't fake the funk, right, Pastor?
That's right.
Don't fake the funk. You know, after years of hearing pastor, some words kind of stick on to you. Yes. So the reframe is this, brothers, is this. We live in a culture that says weakness is a failure. Weakness, I want you to look weakness at a different angle today. Bear with me. Weakness is something to overcome, transcend, or hide. But Paul, same man who planted churches, survived shipwrecks, and shaped the early church, said something radically different. You with me? So whenever you feel you're weak, think about this. And let's jump on to our next scripture, Pastor. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. 2 Corinthians, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. How many times have we praised the Lord? Please, God, take this away from me. Take this away from me, God. Many times. Does it mean God loves you less because it hasn't gone away? No. But there's a key thing to this, and something that I love what my mom would say, because, you know, bless her soul, she passed away last year, and something that she will always tell me was this, son, my grace is sufficient. I'm sick here, son. I can't breathe correctly. I have no place to go. I'm in here day in and day out in my bed. Where do I go? How do I breathe? And the Lord always reminded me that in even hard circumstances, it's so easy right now because we have health to say it. Let's be real. It's so easy to say. But when we're in that bed, I think that's when we start understanding who God truly is. It's in our weakness we start understanding who God is truly in our lives. And that we only depend on Him.
Yeah.
So, at the Lord 3 times, He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Man, this sounds bad. I'm like, man, Paul, what are you talking about? You want to be sick? You want to be... No, he recognized who Christ was in his life. Therefore, I take pleasure in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am strong. Let's unpack this passage right now. Notice that Paul doesn't, what Paul doesn't do. He doesn't say the thorn was removed. Let's make a pause there. It's stuck there. And there's many thorns in your life that you wish were still gone, but they're still there. Can be anything. He doesn't say God healed him so he could be strong. No, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God's answer to Paul wasn't removal of the problem. It was, you don't need the problem gone. You need me. You see that? You don't need the problem, God. See, the thing is, he's shifting the focus. Sometimes we focus so much on the problem that we lose sight of Jesus Christ. This is what's happening here. Paul is telling us that there was a shift. You need me. And in your weakness, you'll experience my sufficiency in a way strength will never allow. Because it's not in our strength anymore. It's on our us relying on Christ. And everything we do and everything we breathe, we depend solely on Him. See, God knows us very well. He knows your weakness already. All He wants from you is to come to Him right now. Whatever downfall or whatever you did this week or whatever happened months ago, He's trying to recover you again. Stop focusing on the problem. Focus on Jesus Christ. Don't lose sight of me.
That's right.
It reminds me of this other analogy I love to give. That when you think about a horse, they're in the track. They have these things on the side to cover them. They're blinders. We need to put those spiritual blinders right now. There's a price ahead. That's why these horses have them, so they can focus and finish the race. But as we're walking, sometimes we get distracted. It happens. So we got to put these spiritual side blinds so we can just focus on Christ. So again, God's answers to Paul was a removal of the problem. It was, you don't need the problem gone. You need me. So every time you have a problem, focus on Jesus. God knows you. God sees you. God knows your heart. He knows you're troubled. He knows you need him. This is why he is the comfort. And this is why he left the Holy Spirit to bring us comfort.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So this speaks directly to the season that you might be in right now, where you realize you cannot control or fix everything. You cannot force, here's one, those who have children, your child to make a right choice. You cannot guarantee your marriage will probably heal. You cannot ensure your health, your finances, your career will go as planned. You cannot be enough for anyone. And here's the gospel. In that weakness, God doesn't say work harder, get stronger, figure it out. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Rely on that. My strength is made perfect right here, right there in your problem. It's going to become perfect. In this place where you finally understand you're not in control. It's hard for us to let go, right?
Yes.
It's hard for us to surrender. We're human still. We're in this flesh while we're still here. We're going to commit certain things that sometimes, well, Paul would say, God, why do I do the things that I despise the most? Why? This bodily of flesh that we still live still sins. That's why we need to rely so much on Jesus Christ. That's why we need prayer. That's why we need to be every single day walking and praying with the Lord. So the paradox to this is this. When I am weak, I stop striving. When I stop striving, I start trusting. When I trust, I experience his sufficiency. You see how everything's starting to change now. When I experience his sufficiency, I am genuinely strong. Not in myself, but in him. And that's the way it goes. So here's my illustration to finish this point. A river doesn't generate its own power. It receives power from the elevation, from gravity, from the source upstream. The more a river tries to be powerful by itself, the more it stagnates. But when it surrenders to the topology of it, where it's placed or how it is working, when it flows downhill, when it receives from the source, it becomes unstoppable. That's the weakness position as connection. You're unstoppable when you know where the source is coming from. Yeah. What's pushing you? What's getting you ahead to the next step of your life in the season that you're walking in right now? I'm amazed how God works with this. And sometimes we need to be reminded and be humbled sometimes. Sometimes a sickness might be sent. Sometimes a pain from a family member passed away. Sometimes those things reposition us into a place again to remind you who God is in your life. I love the way God works, because if it wasn't for those situations in life, I would not be where I'm at right now. If it wasn't for his grace, I would not be where I'm at right now. And we got to get off our high horse, brothers and sisters. We have to. It's not about me. It was never about me to begin with. It was about the man who died on the cross. It was about him who gave it all for my life and for our generations. That's what it was about. Now I want to come to my final point, brother. I surrender because I know I need him. We all need Christ. We all need him. So here's what I want to establish with you, brothers, is this. God does not depend on me. He remains God when I succeed or fail. That should release you from the burden of being his solution. We got to release. I don't know what you're going through, but you have to release. I depend completely on him. Everything that matters, every fruit that lasts, every life that's transformed flows from remaining in him. That should position you not as a source, but as a conduit, connection to it. My weakness is my teacher. It's in weakness that I finally stop performing and start receiving. That should make you willing to be honest about what you cannot do. I don't have it all together, brothers. I don't think in this room we all have it together. Brings me back to another illustration. Years ago, I found out about this. I don't know if you ever read about this pastor, but this pastor, Louis Giglio, something like that. He's a pastor he does conferences for colleges and
Giglio,
yes. And he takes with him Chris Tomlin. That's how Chris Tomlin became famous. Those who like facts and stories. And he does these crusades, passion crusades. And one of his preachings, I loved it. Coming to this point about sustain, about holding together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where are you going with this, pastor? Well, he talked about this chemical bond. I don't know how many people in here love chemistry. I hated chemistry. But until I found about this word that he talked about was called laminin.
Yes.
Laminin is something that sustains our body. And what's even more crazy, it's in the shape of a cross. I was wowed. Laminin. I was like, wow, a bond that sustains your body. If that laminin is not in your body breaks down. You cannot move. You cannot walk. You cannot go from here to over there. So when we put it to perspective, Jesus Christ is what puts you and holds you together. He is the glue to your life. He is the glue to everything you're going through right now. When you feel you cannot move forward, just think about laminin.
Yes. It's in the DNA.
It's in the DNA. God is in everything.
Hallelujah.
He's in the DNA he constructed in our bodies too. I was surprised when I heard that, and I was like, God, you sustain everything. You sustain my life.
Yes, yes.
Like in the palm of your hands, you sustain everything. Why do I continue going that direction? Brings me back again to humble me. And it anchors me. And I want this phrase to anchor you today and for the rest of the week. God without me remains God. I without him am nothing. So God with me remains God. He doesn't need my contribution to validate his power. No. He doesn't need any success to prove his faithfulness. Nope. He is fully, completely, eternally sufficient without me. And I without him, I am nothing. Not in the sense of worthlessness, because I don't want to hit some fires and like, man, I'm not worthy, Josh. I'm not worthy of it. No. You are beloved. You are his. You are redeemed. But in the sense that apart from Christ, I cannot produce the life, the love, the transformation, the peace that my soul craves and that the world needs. I without him, I am nothing. So here's what I'm asking for you this week. Notice where you're trying to be the source. Where are you striving, performing, controlling? That's not for you. Say with me, I'm going to bring it to God. Say it with me strong. I'm going to bring it to God. Practice the posture of a branch. What does it mean for you to abide in Christ? Is it prayer? Is it scripture? Is it surrender? Is it community? Find the practices that keep you connected to the vine. I don't know what's your way of connecting with the Lord. You know, I have this debate, Pastor, where someone will always say, well, how's your prayer life? Do you pray throughout the day? Do you give yourself an hour or 2 hours? Let's be honest. Some people here probably have never even prayed 3 hours on a row. And I always battle with this, Pastor. And probably you might be the same person today here. Like, God, I try to do my best. I got to go about my business. I think the best way that I have done, Pastor, to be connected with the Lord, that I be intentional in how you pray. I be intentional in a moment where you stop at the car, start praying. You got to pray in tongues, go ahead. I be intentional when you're in the shower singing, probably a little ugly, off tune. But you're praising God and you're worshiping him. Be intentional. Where you're at now with your kids, probably those who still have kids, because I still have kids. I'm at that stage right now. I'm intentional and I pray with them. And I let them know who is the true king of this house. Not me. Who is the true king? Jesus Christ. And I pray with them that the Lord sends his angels to protect them. And I'm intentional in every single way throughout the day. See, this is what it means in his word. Pray without ceasing. That means at all times, continue praying, because the enemy is out to devour you. You give 1 inch, he'll chew you up.
That's right.
This is why it's so important to pray. And I'm not trying to knock off that, you know what, to have a time. You need to have a time with the Lord. You got to have a special place with the Lord. We all need it. But throughout the day, if you don't want to be knocked out, you better be praying throughout the whole week. You have to. It's not that I need to. Say with me, I have to. There's action in that word. Need is an excuse. Have is an action right now that I have to do it. Not because God's telling me right now. I have to because of me. I need him. Not the other way around. Tell someone. Here's the other one. I think this is something we don't practice in church, brothers. We don't have an accountability partner sometimes, Pastor. And I know we have brothers and sisters in here that we can count on. We have Pastor Fee. We got other brothers and sisters we can go to sometimes. Stop hiding the places where you can't fix it. When we hide our weakness, we hide our need for grace. When we reveal our weakness, we invite the reality of his self-sufficiency into that space. We like to cut corners sometimes, Pastor. We like to, like, no, this is for me, and that's for God. What is that part where we always tell God, invade my space mean? That means invade everything. If his presence is going to come, it's everything, not one part. It's going to cloud this place in here. And it's going to cloud your home. It's going to cloud your family when you let him and permit him. We open doors. As people open doors for the enemy to come in, we can open doors for grace. We can open doors for his love. We can open doors for his love to come and be with us and abide in us. Just the way the world likes to talk about and be out there opening doors to the enemy, we have so much more power in Christ.
Yes.
We invite the reality of him into this space.
Hallelujah.
I pray to help us to stop trying to be sufficient for ourselves. To help us believe that we need him. That we can finally receive the grace that we've been wanting. In our weakness, he shows us his strength. And we pray that we learn how to surrender to him. So in our surrender, we pray for your sufficiency, Lord. Help us to live a beautiful truth in you. God, without the remains, God, I without him, I am nothing. Remember that. I without him, I am nothing. And when everything has been said and done, we can trust the Lord that he's going to make a way for us. Why? Because if he did it before, he will do it again. You believe that?
Amen.
If he did it before, he will do it again.
He'll do it again.
There's a track record. Everybody has a track record in here, right?
That's right.
You can stamp it. This is the time. This is the day when he did this for me. This is the time. This is the date when he did it for me. There's a track record in everything the Lord has done for us. Go back to his promises. Go back to what he did for your family. Go back to every single part of your life and remind yourself of how good God has been to you. Remind yourself of his word. I want everybody to bow your heads right now. I want to come to a place right now. I want to just close everybody your eyes right now, please. Close your eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes and just, if there's a time and place right now, this is the place right now to surrender. We surrender all to you, Father, right now. Humble us, Father, if you have to humble us, God. Surrender all, Father.
I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to Jesus, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Oh, I think we need to surrender our hearts in this place. Can we just stand with me? I surrender.
I surrender.
Give God a shout of praise in the house. Is he worthy? What a tremendous message. Brother Josh, thank you for that message. Is we do need him every moment. Every moment. And we should never take every day for granted. Amen. You know, the Bible reminds us that tomorrow's not promised. It's never promised. But we're mighty, mighty thankful. That message spoke volumes. It reminded us that if there's anything that we need to depend upon, it's Him. Amen. And yes. Continually be connected on that vine. Yes, because he's our nourishment. Amen.
Yes.
He's our life. And when you're plugged into the vine, oh my gosh, there's great joy.
Yes.
There's great joy.
Yes.
I want to reach out right now to Facebook and YouTube that's watching. And maybe God spoke to you. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can enter into a covenant with God, that He would wash you in His blood, and He would fill you with this Spirit of promise and give you a new hope. And all you have to do is repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And watch Him do the miraculous in your life. So pray this prayer with, by faith, and watch God do it. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is He worthy? Oh, come on. Is He worthy? Amen. Oh, yes, He is. He's worthy. Worthy. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.